I gave this platform to God, okay? I'm on a very specific mission.
We have to identify who the real enemy is. We have to know, where does this infiltration come from? The American people need a warrior that's unafraid to point out the real enemy. The American people are deserving of truth, exposure, and extreme accountability for the crimes against humanity that are being committed. We're on the brink of the complete collapse of America, while at the same time at the precipice of an amazing victory. If we want to prevent our children from facing a future bloodbath, I mean, I'm talking mass amounts of bloodshed, we need to step up and fight this war, and we need to fight it now. Uncensored. I refuse to be silenced or muzzled. Unafraid. No man will intimidate me. Unstoppable.
And welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu this evening. So we're getting into the thick of the 2024 presidential race, and it's very clear that 45th President Trump is going to be the Republican Party's nominee. And so now, as winter turns into spring and we start barreling toward election season, we're seeing the press on all sides, but especially the corporate establishment press, flip over into campaign mode. They do this every other year when you include the midterms, but they reserve a special intensity for presidential election years. And as we've learned since 2016, they reserve an extra special intensity for election years that involve President Trump. For the better part of 8 years, the entire corporate media and much of the media that claims to be independent or claims to be fair and balanced have all, to varying degrees, turned their guns against Trump and against his supporters, and they've gone out of their way to publish as much bad press as possible about Trump as a man, Trump as a business owner, Trump as a candidate, and Trump as a president. They've demonstrated time and time again that the truth doesn't matter. They'll twist anything that anyone says, especially if it helps Trump, and they'll turn it into something else entirely. They'll take something beautiful and they'll turn it into something ugly. They'll take something ugly and they'll turn it into something that they tell you is beautiful, even when you know deep down that it doesn't look quite right. And when you question them, or you call them out, they'll keep lying right to your face. They do it every single day on cable news. They rewrite history in real time. They cast themselves as the papers of record. If they report it, it becomes true in the twisted web they've weaved out of our lives and out of our country itself. And over the weekend, the corporate press, their deep state bosses, and their buddies at the DNC gave us yet another example of this. At a rally in Ohio, Trump warned that if Biden wins the election, or manages to steal it again, the U.S. automotive industry will be totally destroyed. It will be taken down by regulations and targeted taxation, and it will fold. And the remaining manufacturers will leave the country, and Americans will be stuck buying vehicles produced in Mexico by communist China. They already have plans for massive factories because they can sell cars over the border with no tariffs. So Trump, correctly, told the crowd that a Biden victory would be a, quote, bloodbath, end quote, for the automotive industry and the people it employs, especially in Midwestern states like Ohio, where he was speaking. Take a listen for yourself.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
That right there, that was all it took for the White House, the entire corporate media, and all of the usual suspects, all of the political operatives on X, to all make the exact same patently false claim that Trump was threatening violence. They all parroted each other, nearly word for word, and claimed that Trump was calling for mass murder. They took this video of Trump, the video we just saw, and they cut it down to a few seconds. They manipulated it, and they took the term bloodbath and said that Trump was threatening to unleash a bloodbath on the American people if he doesn't win the election. Ironically, it's quite the opposite. The same people amplifying this fake story have already unleashed a physical bloodbath, not a metaphorical one, on this country by opening our borders and letting psychotic third world serial killers and narco terrorists walk right into our country and start robbing and raping and murdering Americans. But they say that Trump's warning about the automotive industry was just a bridge too far. Give me a break. And despite the actual video floating around online the entire time, publication after publication, account after account, elected official after elected official promoted this fake story about Trump. They all hopped on board and did whatever they could to advance the lie as far as possible. It dominated the news cycle all weekend, and it's carried into Monday. They tell these lies over and over again, and they actually try to write them into history. And this is how they do it. By repeating it over and over again. The core philosophy of our corporate press and the politicians who employ them is that if you tell a lie long enough, if you tell a lie hard enough, it becomes the truth, at least as far as the general public is concerned. They make up reality as they go along. These people are at war with the truth. They are at war with reality. We see that through some of their most passionate political stances, like transgenderism, for instance. A boy can become a girl. The corporate press, the political class, they lie through their teeth to promote transgenderism. They'll tell us that we're the crazy ones if we don't believe a man can chop off his genitals and throw on a dress and makeup and all of a sudden, he's a woman. And they do this not because their bosses believe it, but because they're at war with the truth. So when it comes to politics, when it comes to candidates and things that they say, of course, the press will lie, especially when that candidate is Donald Trump and they're once again playing an active role in manipulating a presidential election. They're manipulating it through information. They're waging an information war on us, and it's only March. This is only the beginning. We haven't even gotten to the conventions yet. We're not even 100% sure that Joe Biden will actually be the Democrat nominee. We haven't even gotten to the ballot drop boxes and the mail-in voting and all of the shenanigans that the media is pushing and playing right along with for their buddies in the deep state. This is only the beginning, and it's only one battle in the entire war on truth, but it's an important one. It's a litmus test of sorts, because if the American people can be manipulated into believing this idiotic story, and the countless others like it that are bound to materialize between now and November, then they can be manipulated once again into believing a fake and rigged election. Frankie Stocks is with NationalFile.com. He's a reporter there, and he joins us now to talk more about this. Frankie, where were you when the fake news took over this weekend?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. I was sitting in front of my computer reading the news, as I always do, and social media was just consumed with this ridiculous story of Trump saying there's going to be a bloodbath and yada, yada, yada. And so, you know, you take 15 seconds and you do a little bit of your own research, and you see that it's a completely fake story. You see that the Biden campaign has trimmed the video down to 6 seconds, and they've put it out to the public, telling them that there's, you know, genocide is on the horizon. You know, it is kind of funny because if you look up the term bloodbath, it's actually defined in part as being an economic term. This is a well-used term in economics, a bloodbath. The market's going to collapse. Everybody's going to lose everything they have. It's going to be a bloodbath. You know, this is pretty standard, especially you'd think for a guy like President Trump who's been involved in business his entire life. You would think that this would be a term that would be used quite often. And so it's willful, you know, negligence. It is just complete bold-faced lies over and over again that we're seeing from these people. And, you know, this is one thing I want to add in here is this has made me think back to the George Zimmerman case. If you remember, I think it was NBC, they edited George Zimmerman's audio when he's on the phone with the police, and he's black. And, you know, they're saying, actually, you know, they've removed the part where they ask, what race is the guy? What does he look like? They just have George Zimmerman saying, he's black. He's up to no good.
He's up to no good. He's a black guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is par for the course. This is what they do. They will take anything that you say and slice it down as much as they possibly can, and they'll tell everyone that it's true, and then even after they get caught, they don't care. You know, they don't issue retractions. They just keep it pushing.
Yeah, if memory serves correct, during that story, I remember covering it at my old gig, and the Associated Press coined the term. This is kind of a foreshadowing, as a matter of fact, really a Genesis level situation that foreshadowed the Google AI just totally erasing white people, right? The Associated Press coined the term white Hispanic, made it up out of whole cloth when describing who George Zimmerman was so that the media could then say, oh, it was a white guy that killed a black guy. Cut to Barack Obama. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. You know, I mean, just... it's crazy. I cannot believe that you brought that story up, because it's just really, when you take a step back and you look at how you know, incrementalism, they just slowly have gotten to the point now where it is just the anti-whiteism is out of control, you know, from George Zimmerman to now. I mean, they've really done an effective brainwashing propaganda campaign on the American people.
Yeah, they have. And it's funny you bring up the term white Hispanic, because now they've continued using that term. And when you see, you know, Hispanics for Trump, Latinos for Trump, you'll often hear people just say, oh, those are white Hispanics. You know, they're supporting Trump because they're white supremacist Hispanics. And so these terms, they trot them out in one circumstance, and then they kind of keep them on the back burner, and they start using them over and over again. And then they just kind of enter the lexicon, and they're there. But this manipulation of the truth, we see it in every single part of the news cycle, but it's really, really hitting a fever pitch, I think, for the 2024 election. And we say this every time, but it's true, because as technology advances, as the discussion gets deeper and deeper, as the Overton window continues to shift, the lies get bigger. The lies get bigger every single election cycle. They get more brazen. They get more ridiculous, more outlandish. It gets more in your face. And so now we have the leading presidential candidate of the Republican Party, arguably, obviously, the leading candidate of both parties when all things are fair and equal. And we have his speech being cut up and twisted up before our very own eyes. You know, it's insulting, really, to the American people. But then you look at the other hand and you say, well, I did 15 seconds of research and I figured out that this wasn't real. Why is no one? People have been so conditioned to take what they're spoon fed and just take it for granted, take it for the truth, that I think very smart and reasonable people at times have a real hard time questioning what they see coming out of NBC, coming out of CBS. They don't question it.
So the silver lining here, and you could correct me if you're wrong, was there a silver lining in I guess the reaction time of debunking all of this, right? I mean, if Elon Musk, and again, I don't fully trust the guy, the Neuralink chip guy, the brain chip guy, but I mean, you know, it was X was pretty quick to debunk this. I mean, so that's a silver lining here. They don't have, now they may have it locked down by November. I mean, with the banning of TikTok, you know, on the horizon, because the Israel lobby just does not like what, you know, the messaging that is allowed, that they're not allowed to control in Silicon Valley, getting into the minds of American young people. By November, you never know, Twitter 2.0 could be just like it was under Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, it absolutely could. And I think that's the track that they're taking. You know, we see the ADL there trying to force Twitter's hand, force X's hand. But when you hear from some of the more civil libertarian types that are looking at this TikTok ban bill, and they start talking about, you look down the road and this bill is going to authorize or make it easier for the president with the stroke of a pen or for Congress with a quick rush job vote to kick X off the internet, you know, kick X off the App Store if they don't push the agenda that they want to see pushed. And so, yeah, it did get debunked very quickly on X. But the crazy thing is you still have some of these talking heads who are still going into this week pushing it. They just do not care. They do not care that the truth is out there, because they say, oh, well, it's Elon Musk and we're going to call him an anti-Semite. And that's going to push down any type of credit that he gets for debunking this, or that his platform gets for debunking this. We'll make that seem fake. So it really is, you know, you described it great, a war on the truth. That's exactly what we're seeing here. There's really nothing else to call it. And they're working overtime to crush the truth going into the election season.
So, I mean, we know in 2020, and we don't have much time left, but we know in 2020, you know, all the polling was fake, right? And now we have these polls out there that are showing that, you know, Trump has a lead. And so, you know, the temptation would be, as, you know, somebody who is, you know, a journalist, to say, oh, you know, Trump's winning, right? You know, he's, and I see some people saying he's, you know, he's going to outperform the fraud this time. I mean, I'm not saying it's not impossible to outperform the fraud. I'm not saying that. Obviously, that's my prayer. My prayer is for this whole Tower of Babel 2.0 system to come crashing down, right? You know, but what do you make of it? I mean, is it possible? I mean, is it possible for Trump to somehow overcome this fraud? What do you make of the polls out there now showing that, you know, Trump has a lead over Biden?
I fully believe that Trump has a lead over Biden. I am not convinced that, and this is just being totally candid, totally honest, that we're going to be able to overcome the fraud, the election rigging. We already had the DOJ coming in and trying to push states around to, you know, let illegals and felons who are sitting in federal custody register to vote. They're deploying the U.S. Marshals into federal prison to give voter registration information to felons who, in many of the states that they're in, they're not even allowed to vote. There's also illegals who are getting this information. And Merrick Garland is going around talking about suing states that don't allow for ballot drop boxes, don't allow for mail-in balloting. So there's going to have to be a massive overwhelming, you know, there's going to have to be an overwhelming voter turnout on behalf of Trump. And I think that at its core, the America First movement, and you call it the MAGA movement, this is still at its core a grassroots insurgent movement. And movements like this always have their backs up against the wall. They're always the underdog. They're always the one who has to go above and beyond to be able to win, because the levers of power, and we saw this even when Trump was in the White House, the levers of power are controlled by the deep state. They're controlled by the other side. So I think that people are going to have to take this incredibly seriously. There's going to be no substitution for showing up to vote at the polls. There's really not.
Yeah. And in the meantime, we have an entire, you know, it's only March, like we said. So we got 9 more months or 8 more months of the media just gaslighting and lying constantly, which is something that we already know, right? So whatever they say, Trump called for violence, we can say, no, he didn't. anyway, Frankie Stocks, nationalfile.com. You got great reporting over there. Thank you so much for coming on the Stu Peters Show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, folks, the Stu Peters Show will be back here in just a moment.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. So here's a surprising fact. Research shows that even healthy people have wild swings in their blood sugar after eating. When I talk about blood sugar, a lot of people tune out. You know, they think it's only relevant to people with type 2 diabetes, but blood sugar is a topic everybody needs to understand. One of the big keys to optimal health is to have balanced blood sugar. Spikes in blood sugar force your pancreas to work harder and are associated with things like weight gain and even risk of heart attack and stroke. So here's the reason that I even brought this up. The boys at Bioptimizers have a blood sugar optimization product called Blood Sugar Breakthrough. And I don't think I'm overstating my case when I say it's revolutionary. I personally take it. I take 2 capsules 15 minutes before each meal, and then my body pushes carbs and glucose into my muscles to be used as fuel instead of turning them into fat. This is why I'm recommending it to you. As a result, you'll enjoy more stable energy without the post-meal crash. Plus, you'll have better workouts, faster gains in the gym, and an easier time leaning out, getting rid of that stubborn belly fat. Perhaps the biggest benefit of all of this is it will improve your overall health tremendously. You have to try it. For an exclusive offer, go to bioptimizers.com/SP. Again, that's bioptimizers.com/SP. Just in the rhythm of your daily life, your privacy faces countless threats. The NSA and countless other people able to listen in on your phone conversations and obtain your text messages. That's why I want to introduce you to Privacy from phone123.com, your mobile fortress. With state-of-the-art end-to-end encryption, your data's journey is shielded. You can speak freely with privacy's secure call feature. Adaptive authentication learns from you, enhancing security without slowing you down. Privacy's intuitive design makes powerful protection accessible to everyone. Behind the scenes, privacy is always evolving, defending against the latest threats. Empower your digital life with privacy starting at just $35. Visit phone123.com/stew. Again, that's phone123.com/stew, or just call them. Connect to mobile. Complete privacy assurance.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So there are a lot of people in the so-called conservative media or independent media landscape who say that they're a dissident, who say that they're free and independent and a trailblazing voice. But in reality, they're not. They're controlled. They're being told what to say. They're running every single one of their articles, every single one of their social media posts, every single one of their talk show appearances through their publisher or through their editor or through their ideological guru, whatever you want to call it, whoever is pulling the strings and telling them what they are and aren't allowed to say. That's who's making the final call. So it's really been amazing over the past few weeks and months to see Candace Owens, who's employed by Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire, breaking with Shapiro, and let's face it, just about everyone else at the Daily Wire, on the issue of Israel, and specifically Israel's genocide of the Palestinians and colonial conquest of Gaza. And more recently, she's broken with them on the issue of the left-wing globalist subversion of the United States and who's responsible for it, for who's behind this uprooting and perversion of our culture and our government and everything that we've ever known as an integral part of American society, including our national sovereignty, which now ceases to exist, thanks to the Israel First lobby of geopolitical power brokers who are undeniably, or claim, that they are of Jewish ancestry. And so, despite working at a place run by a guy who's a professional mouthpiece for Israel, Ben Shapiro, a guy who's really turned himself into a professional victim of imaginary anti-Semitism, Candace Owens has been able to carve out a lane as a free thinker and as a truth seeker, as someone who will continue telling the truth and digging for the truth, no matter how unpleasant or unpopular it may be. As a matter of fact, last week she staked her entire journalistic career on the fact that Emmanuel Macron's French's president, that his wife was born a man. Maybe more on that in a minute. Now, so I don't think that anyone expects that Candace Owens is going to get her contract renewed at the Daily Wire anytime soon, but she's using her platform to ask questions that need to be asked and to share information that needs to be shared. And in doing so, in doing all of this, she's come across many people who've tried to shut her down, especially this so-called Rabbi Shmuley Boteik, who's pretty quickly been identified as, well, one of the most disgusting people on the face of the earth. When you think about going into business with your daughter who's in the sex shop business, it's very strange. I mean, would you do that as a father? Shmuley is basically a Zionist enforcer, kind of like Luca Brasi from The Godfather. This is the guy they send after you when they want to accuse you of anti-Semitism, or they want to say that you're not supporting the Israeli war effort, which, of course, they say is, again, a form of anti-Semitism. He is their enforcer, and he's a total pervert. Matter of fact, take a look at this video. Watch.
Hi, everyone. Arch anti-Semite Candace Owens, who's having a complete mental and psychological breakdown, a nervous breakdown in public, which is being manifest with some of the worst anti-Semitism we've seen in years here in the United States, saw this box and she called it filth. One word, filth. Now, it's made in Israel. It's called my shemen, which means my oil. Out of her ignorance, she had no clue. And it's made by the Kosher Sex Company based on the book that I wrote. What's inside? What is this filth? Is it the Mugen David that Candace Owens hates? Is it the Made in Israel that she hates? What is it? Let's see. Is it a monster inside? Is it some? Oh my God! It's two oils for married couples! Oh my gosh! This is the filth that arch anti-Semite, Jew hater, Israel hater, Candace Owens said was filth. So, since it's only oils, and since I am so dedicated passionately to the project of keeping marriage as holy and passionate and lowering the divorce rate, because I'm a child of divorce, and getting husbands off pornography and trying to curb the crazy adulterous levels in America by making marriage holy, what could have led Candace Owens to call this box filth without ever opening it? I suggest, my friends, the answer lies very simply right here. Israel and the Mugging Dugget. Candace Owens cannot even control her anti-Semitism anymore. From saying that Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad agent, of course, if you're a pedophile, you work for Israel. From saying that rabbis killed Michael Jackson, that's going to get her a lawsuit, God willing. That will be very serious. From saying that Jews run a secret pedophile ring in Hollywood to entrap black artists and blackmail them, her anti-Semitism has crossed such lines. But the best is how much she loves Kanye West, who loves Hitler. She saw this, and she therefore called it trash. There is a day of reckoning, because never again means we will never be maligned again. But my friends, in the meantime, you can buy these incredible products made in Israel to make your marriage more passionate, more holy, more intimate by going to kosher.sex. My daughter Chana's company, I'm so proud of Chana for doing this. She's an IDF veteran. And putting in the 10% discount code, Candace O. Like Candace O. So this is the trash you were talking about, because it's made in Israel. Support Israel. Support intimacy. Make love and war.
Make love and war. I don't think that's how that phrase is supposed to go. So, again, this Rabbi Shmuley character is beyond disgusting. And Candace Owens summed his entire shtick up the best when she posted screenshots of that very video you just saw, along with pictures of his daughter in her Israeli sex toy shop with the caption that reads, and I'm quoting, quote, "Your anti-Semitic if you don't like my daughter's butt plugs is potentially the weirdest flex ever, filth," end quote. I would tend to agree. Rabbi Shmuley clearly has a warped and twisted mind. Shmuley has been exploiting America for decades, and no surprise, it's always been about turning a profit while yelling anti-Semitism at anyone who objects or notices. And like many a con man before him, he's pretty good at it. He's cozied up with celebrities, he's painted himself as some kind of spiritual advisor, and even profited off the death of Michael Jackson by writing a book about it. Sam Parker, former U.S. Senate candidate in Utah, is back with us to talk more about this. Sam, what do you make of all this?
Well, where do you start, Paul? It's a total clown show on the one hand, and sort of sinister on the other hand. Look, this feud goes all the way back to when Kanye West was having his episode on Twitter, you know, the whole DEFCON tweets, that episode where he was getting manipulated in the background and taken advantage of by various people of Jewish descent. And of course, Candace knew what was going on in the background. She knew some of these things, and she stood up for him. They were friends. And at this point in time, apparently Rabbi Shmuley and his daughter started attacking Candace for her position in supporting Ye. And that's where this feud started. And so it's been going on, apparently. It's reignited here over the last couple of weeks, especially on Twitter. But apparently it's been going on ever since that time with Ye a couple of years ago. And it's kind of hard to tease apart, but apparently Rabbi Shmuley, way back in the day, was on a list that Michael Jackson kept of Jews that were dangerous or taking advantage of him. And Shmuley was on this list, and so Candace brought that up. And so that's part of this saga. And so they've been attacking her consistently. And you saw that they're trying to even use Candace now to monetize themselves, to gain profit off of this feud, which is, you know, typical for these people. They will create any sort of controversy, take both sides of any position, monetize, profitize, everything. He's using his feud with Candace Owens to make money now, to sell butt plugs and other sex toys and lubes and just filth. As Candace said, so there's interesting things afoot here. And we see now that Rabbi Shmuley, he's got a very close relationship with RFK Jr., who's running for president, who's got a questionable sexual past himself, you know, and also, of course, he comes from, you know, this Kennedy lineage that's had questionable ends, of course, you know, these assassinations that seem to possibly be related, wrapped up in some way with Israel. There are a lot of allegations swirling around that. There's a lot of great evidence for that. And Rabbi Shmuley is involved with this guy. People are asking, is he a handler to RFK Jr.? Why is there a close relationship between this clown show rabbi who sells sex toys and RFK Jr.? What's the relationship here? Why was Rabbi Shmuley associated with Michael Jackson? Why was he on Michael Jackson's, like, hey, this is a bad guy list? So, you know, there's a lot of things going on here. And part of me wonders if this whole sex toy persona that he's adopted, this buffoonish persona that he's taken on, isn't some sort of cover. If Michael Jackson had him on this dangerous list, maybe this guy isn't a clownish buffoon. Maybe that's a cover. You know, maybe we should take him more seriously than we do, or maybe we shouldn't. Maybe he really is just an idiot, you know, jerk who's wrapped up with other bad people, and he's just using that to gain notoriety and make money. Could be that too.
Yeah, you know, it's really fascinating when you look at all this. You know, the fact that Candace Owens is, you know, in the spheres that she has traveled in, you know, the spheres where she has, you know, built her career up to be such an influencer among Conservative Inc., you know, a lot of normie cons and that sort of thing. And so she's on the Daily Wire, which I don't think you can call, you know, if you had to say that, you know, what is Con Inc.? Daily Wire would be
the Daily Wire.
Yeah, the Daily Wire. Yeah. That's it. They're the top of the heap. And yet here she is on this platform, and she is really just going where the facts. She's not afraid of the facts. She's not afraid of the data. I'm just putting it out there. And you know, you make up your own mind. I mean, you know, we could talk, and I know, you know, here in a minute we're going to talk about you know, the demographics and who's controlling what here in a minute here on the program. But I mean, if you just look at the numbers, what's going on in Gaza, what has been going on in Gaza, the number of deaths and things like that, just accurately reporting the response of the nation state of Israel after October 7th is triggering to a lot of people, especially Ben Shapiro. Obviously, you know, they have this open feud on Twitter, and then it kind of dies down. And so then they have their little Daily Wire round table where they actually bring Candace and Ben, and they put them in the same room with the rest of the guys who, I guess it was just a way to show unity. And I think they've done that because every time Ben Shapiro tweets something, he's getting ratioed really bad. I mean, unless I'm looking at some algorithm that is just trying to, you know, be curated to my interests, it looks like Ben Shapiro gets ratioed every time he tweets.
Ben Shapiro got absolutely bodied by Jake Shields a few days ago on Twitter, twice in a row. In fact, one of them, there was a dust up over this TikTok issue of like, who's behind the TikTok ban? And Jake Shields, you know, and Ben Shapiro was, you know, putting forth the total fabricated myth that it's all about, you know, the CCP trying to take over American politics and mold the minds of the youth. And we have to end the communist influence, when it's really all about protecting Israel, right? The Jewish Federation of America really pushed hard for this TikTok ban. And it's quite well known that pro-Palestinian on content is massively overwhelming any pro-Israel content on TikTok. So Israelis, Jews, Zionists, they're all, you know, they all want to shut this speech down on TikTok. And so when Ben Shapiro tried to frame it as a communist China issue, Jake Shields, you know, said, listen, Ben Shapiro claims to be for free speech, except when it's critical of Israel, basically. And so then Ben Shapiro accused him of basically using an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. And Jake fired back with, you can't shut us down with this quote unquote anti-Semitism anymore. It doesn't work. We see through your lies. And he absolutely nuclear ratioed Ben Shapiro. At last look, Jake had 46,000 likes to Ben Shapiro's 5,000 likes. Mm-hmm. And Ben Shapiro's got 10 times more followers than Jake Shields. So you're looking at a 100x ratio or more that Jake Shields delivered on Ben Shapiro. Just absolutely nuclear ratio. People are not putting up with these stupid anti-Semitic smears anymore when we're talking about facts or just, you know, fair criticisms of the state of Israel. So that's number one. Number two, I find it interesting that throughout this feud, especially as it's escalated here over the last few weeks, that Ben Shapiro hasn't had anything to say whatsoever to his co-ethnic rabbi over how he's consistently attacking Candace Owens. And by the way, it involves Ben Shapiro now because Rabbi Shmuley has now invoked a lawsuit against the Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro on multiple occasions. And still Ben Shapiro is silent. And I don't know about you, Paul, but if you had an employee who was being attacked by your, you know, your demographic co-ethnics, you know, your people you rub shoulders with, there, wouldn't you say something? Wouldn't you do something? And we're not saying that Candace Owens is a helpless damsel in distress. We're not saying that. But she is mired in this fight, in this battle, and he's threatening her livelihood. He's threatening the livelihood of her platform. And the boss, the owner of this platform, is completely absent, hasn't said anything. And you and I know that if he wanted that shut down, he could make one phone call and they could probably take care of this. But you know, that apparently hasn't happened. So I have to ask myself, what's really going on here? What's going on?
That's the general question of this entire year. You know, what's going on here?
Is it kosher theater? Like, right. As we say, is it just all a spoof? Is it all just for show, you know, or is it a little bit of both, you know, and everybody's sort of getting a little piece of the action?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, not to build off of that, but this rabbi in question, you know, has a brand, is connected to a brand called Kosher Sex. So, right. Just really, really strange. Behavior. Real quick before you go back to Candace Owens, I mean, she's staking her entire journalistic career on the research from the reporters who are in France that say that Brigitte Macron was actually born a man, and that I guess Emmanuel Macron is gay. No shocker there, but I mean, but what do you think about this? I've looked into it. I mean, the reports are really incredible. The amount of evidence they have to suggest that Brigitte Macron just, you know, stole her dead sister's identity.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And from what I've been able to tell looking into this, this appears to be a not so well-kept secret in France. Apparently, it's for years this has been rumors and been talked about in France, and the French media, very similar to the American media, has just sort of ignored it and not covered it. Especially with, and it's the lack of journalistic curiosity is no surprise to anybody in America who sees what's going on and see how the press is controlled. And so this looks to be another, the French version of that. And I got to say, Paul, I've looked into it as well. It looks credible. Candace raises a lot of great questions, and the greatest point that she's bringing up is they could dispel everything by just showing a few pictures of Brigitte Macron from 0 to 30, from, you know, show us some pictures of her childhood, of her young adulthood, just show us a few pictures, have a press conference and say, this is all just, you know, stupid silliness and let's get back down to business. They won't do that. Instead, they're sending cops after people. They're opening lawsuits against journalists for covering it. They're doing everything except showing a few pictures and disproving it. So I think it raises alarm bells, especially because, like, is this a blackmail influence operation that has installed these people at the top of French politics? I mean, this is a really big story. It's huge.
Well, you got to wonder, like, I mean, you also have to wonder this whole transgenderism phenomenon that is now, you know, taking the world by storm. They're now outed. They, you know, used to homosexuals, they were homosexual, but they were in the closet and then they came out, and now, but everybody knew that there was a lot of this going on behind closed doors. So has transgenderism been going on, successfully convincing people that men are women and women are men for a very, very long time? I mean, if that, you know, has that been in the closet, and a lot of our leaders have actually been, you know, male to female or female to male or whatever. And look, I know
this is
go ahead.
This is an Overton window shift that they don't want. Like, they don't want us seeing behind this curtain, I think, at all. And this might just be the tip of the iceberg. And who knows where it could lead if this shattered our reality and proved to be true. Where would it lead? I don't think they want that can of worms open.
They don't. They would lead to something called transvestigations. And I don't think they want that. I don't think they
extreme want accountability.
Sam Parker, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Paul.
All righty, folks. The Sue Peter Show rolls on. Don't go anywhere.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Gold Co. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
You all know that I love Magnesium Breakthrough. It's been a life changer for me. My sleep, my mood, my relaxation. So for those of you that have never tried it, now's your chance, because this month only, you can get a free bottle of this best-selling full-spectrum supplement that contains all seven forms of magnesium that your body craves in exactly the right balance. Bioptimizers, the people who make this Magnesium Breakthrough, are offering a 14-day sleep challenge. So for all of you in Stew Crew, you get a free 14-day supply. All you have to do is pay some nominal shipping fee. That's it. No other strings attached, no other purchase required. The challenge is simple. Try Mag Breakthrough for 14 days, see all the positive changes I just mentioned. If your sleep and energy are not absolutely rocking by the end of 14 days, you've lost nothing. But if they are, your life is back on track. Get your free bottle. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, that's magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Enter the coupon code STUPETERS10. That's it. Look, they wouldn't be letting me give these bottles away if they weren't 100% confident how effective it is. And again, this is now on the short list of supplements that I absolutely have to have every day. Get your free 14-day supply right now, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So thanks to programs like the Stu Peters Show, shifting the Overton window and testing the limits of things that we're allowed to talk about before we get kicked off the internet or routed from the public square by ADL censors, people have started noticing, en masse, the huge amount of Jews, or people who claim to be Jews, occupying positions of power within the United States. Though they make up just 2% of America's total population, it's widely known and even accepted that Jews account for a huge number of entertainment and sports executives, while controlling large swaths of the financial system, sitting atop America's biggest banks and through the Federal Reserve System, as well as private equity firms like BlackRock. So they're also in control of big tech. We have to mention that. Now, that's minus X and TikTok, which likely explains why the ADL is trying to get TikTok banned and X demonetized. And as these groups, like the ADL and the corporate banking elite, see their wealth grow exponentially, so too, naturally, does their influence over the United States government and virtually all other culturally and politically relevant entities. And it's starting to become extremely obvious. I mean, Jews are massively overrepresented in Joe Biden's cabinet, to the point that the Jerusalem Post even referred to the Biden White House as a, quote, Jewish administration, end quote. And their influence over the executive branch is deliberately spilling over into America's foreign policy. And they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Remember when Anthony Blinken visited Israel just days after the October 7th attacks and told Benjamin Netanyahu that he wasn't just visiting as America's Secretary of State, but, quote, as a Jew, end quote. And it's not just the White House, where this tiny ethno-religious minority has outsized influence. It's the entire government. Dozens of members of Congress are Jewish, as are three Supreme Court justices. That's one-third of the high court's bench out of just 2% of the population. And politically speaking, it's not just limited to government. Jews are massively overrepresented among the corporate press and on cable news networks, and even in the realm of podcasts, which is strange because we're often told that podcasts are, you know, some kind of independent media world where the truth can run free from commercial sponsors and politically motivated network bosses. But of course, they've all sunk their teeth into that as well. And it's not just the people hosting the shows either. A study conducted by Alex from the Leather Apron Club showed that a huge percentage of guests on the most popular podcasts and independent media broadcasts in America and the world are Jewish, especially when the topic of and discussion centers around politics. So Alex has gone through thousands of episodes of shows encompassing all ends of the aisle, and what he found should raise questions with any reasonable person when it comes to any group having such an outsized influence, especially in a country like the United States. Now, the United States, a supposed republic with a Christian majority, be it an ever-dwindling one, thanks in massive part to the corporate political class that we just discussed. According to Alex's research, a whopping 42% of Joe Rogan podcast guests are Jewish, as are 70% of politically themed guests on the popular Lex Fridman podcast. Even the so-called dissident media has played host to a disproportionate number of Jewish guests, with Alex's research finding that 24.2% of Jordan Peterson's guests and 21.9% of Tim Pool's guests have been Jewish. So it's undeniable that the Jews are massively overrepresented in American media, American politics, and American finance, just to name a few categories, and their influence only appears to be growing. So any rational person would want to know why. We need to know why. So for more on this, we're now joined by Alex from the Leather Apron Club. Alex, welcome to the Stu Peters Show, sir. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, and thanks so much for inviting me on.
So what do you make of that? I mean, you know, boilerplate, why is this? How have we gotten here? And why do you think that you have, you know, 2% of the population occupying such high levels of American industry that essentially control the American way of life in many ways?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very complicated question. And it's bound to be caused by a lot of different issues or a lot of different causes. And people try to speculate endlessly on these, and they'll try to bring up sort of examples of causes that, you know, they basically make the Jewish people seem not as culpable, not as actually guilty in this. But frankly, I none of them really kind of add up to these levels of overrepresentation that we see. You know, I don't really talk about it so much in my videos that I put out on these things, because generally speaking, I just want to put out the data and start a conversation around these things. But, you know, I think an undeniable large portion of what causes, you know, their massive amount of influence is like a certain level of ethno-nepotism that they share as a community. And it doesn't have to be something they're even particularly conscious of, or, you know, that they're intentionally doing, like, oh, you know, let's make sure that only Jewish people get on Joe Rogan's podcast. Like, I don't even think it has to be that nefarious. It's just something as simple as, like, they as Jewish people hang around mostly other Jewish people. They want other Jewish people to succeed just from sort of like a natural instinct. I think that's kind of reasonable. And then, you know, when they're talking to someone like Joe Rogan and they're like, hey, I know this other guy who's real, real smart. I think you should get him on your show. So, you know, it can happen in this sort of like natural, you know, not sort of, we don't have to go schizo level tinfoil hat in order to explain this, but the end results are the same. Like, you still have this massive overrepresentation of this ethno-religious group who, you know, if you look at Pew Research and things like that, we see that they constantly more than any other ethnic group, blacks or Asians, certainly more than whites, who are very sort of the opposite end of ethnocentric, as the Jews are, they support their ethnic interests far more than any other group. And they consider being Jewish extremely important to them. Whereas if you ask whites, you know, how important is it to you that you're white? They don't consider it very important at all. So I think, you know, that sort of soft ethno-nepotism, whatever you want to call it, is an undeniable factor, you know, in sort of explaining this. But again, I don't even necessarily go into that in all these videos that I'm doing. Really more the goal is to get people to engage with this topic and see it not as this sort of tinfoil hat schizo thing that only the crazies talk about, but see it as like a legitimate discussion that can be had. It is a legitimate political issue. You know, and if you don't want to call it like the Jewish lobby, even though I think that that's probably a better term, because what, you know, that fundamentally is what they are. That's what they view themselves as. But if you want a more politically correct term, you know, we can call it the Israeli lobby. We can call it the Zionist lobby. It is undeniable that they have this huge presence, this huge power in our government, in our media, over everyone's, you know, just what they think about the world. You know, AIPAC practically chooses a healthy portion of the Senate and the House members. The main point of my videos where, you know, again, I don't speculate as to necessarily the cause. The main point is just to shift that Overton window to get people, even people who aren't necessarily very involved politically or, you know, are sort of more like normie conservatives and they really don't want to talk about race stuff. It's to present them this data that is so overwhelming and so undeniable that I think even the most like closed off person will eventually want to discuss this stuff. And, you know, I think hopefully that makes some sort of small difference on a nationwide scale and we can like change the discussion that's going on in the country.
Yeah. It's a political phenomenon that we're not allowed to discuss. Right. And why do you think that is? Why is it taboo? I mean, even comedian Dave Chappelle, you know, who is not some bastion of right wing conservatism. He goes on SNL and he makes the joke about, you know, if you see a group of black guys, that's a gang. You see a group of Italians walking down the street, that's a mob. If you see a group of Jews, you know, better not talk about it. Don't notice, you know, don't describe them at all. So why do you think that is? Why are we not allowed to notice the data that is, it is what it is. It's, I mean,
yeah,
go ahead.
To me, it's a very simple question. You know, if somebody fully understands the state of affairs, they fully understand that, you know, there is this crazy outsized power of Jewish people in the media, in the banks, in all these sorts of things. It sort of becomes obvious the next steps that you have to take, which is opposing them. You know, I'm not saying violently or like hating on any individual Jewish people, but, you know, just consider it from the perspective of any other nation having this sort of outsized power in our country like this. We obviously wouldn't stand for it, you know? And if, you know, say you can probably get a conservative to talk and wax poetically about how they hate what all China's doing to us. You know, obviously Alex Jones talks about that constantly, the Chi-Coms, how they control Hollywood. And it's absolutely ridiculous, you know, but if your fundamental premise is that you disagree with other nations having power in our country, then Israel is far and away the greatest influence, you know, of any other nation state. They obviously receive the most in donations. You know, if you look at historically who has received US aid, Israel is far and away number one. Number two is Egypt, which the only reason we paid them a healthy portion of that money was basically so they would stop attacking Israel. So in a sense, that's also money that we paid to Israel. You know, if you have any sort of like patriotic or nationalist leanings at all, this should be a very obvious issue for you to want to tackle, and not out of any hate, not out of any like crazy intentions. It's just so obvious.
Yeah.
So, you know, the reason, obviously, once these people are in power, they are greatly incentivized to hush any conversation of this. And then, you know, the way they do this is either one, if they can directly ban people, if they have to resort to that, then that's an option they can take. But a much better route is to just sort of have a pervasive hush, you know, that like put a sheet over this entire conversation such that people don't even want to bring it up. You know,
I mean,
censorship.
You know, I'm sure you've already been labeled an anti-Semite. You know, again, bringing this data forward is somehow anti-Semitic. Just like if you want peace in the Middle East, if you don't want a genocide, if you don't support Israel in their colonial conquest right now, then you're somehow a supporter of Islamic terrorism. You know, I mean, it's really straw man, and it's preventing us from just being able to have a discussion about the state of the reality of the situation, right?
Right. Yeah. And I would argue, you know, this state of affairs was sort of intentionally inculcated in people or in the world. They're happy that there is this fear, this chilling effect of bringing up just the simple fact that, hey, this country that, you know, they really have no right to have any influence over us. They're dictating where and when we go to war. They're dictating what we do with, you know, all this money that we're spending. That's just putting us further and further into debt. It's just, were it any other country, you know, this, there would be agreement across the board, but because it's Israel, and because I think, if I'm speculating a little bit, because they already got in power, and then sort of introduced this atmosphere, this chilling atmosphere around discussing the issue, you know, that's why we can't discuss it.
Kind of a side note question, and this may be chasing rabbits, but the whole TikTok being banned thing, you know, China is thought of, you mentioned just a second ago that it's no problem to, you know, wax and wane and talk about the dangers of communist China infiltrating. You know, we know Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy driving her around, you know, for decades or whatever. But a lot of people I have heard try to make the connection that, you know, that China is also kind of controlled by Israel. But I feel like this TikTok story at least calls into question that maybe it's the country's not as monolithic as we would like to imagine. Because why would TikTok, which is controlled by China, stream information into the United States that Israel does not like? Clearly, that's the case. Israel doesn't like TikTok, or the Zionist lobby doesn't like TikTok, right? They don't like what's happening. They don't. Well, there's audio of Jonathan Greenblatt claiming that they've got a big problem with the Zoomers that are not supporting Zionism. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I kind of want to call a spade on this one. I don't see any reason to think that Israel has much control over TikTok. You know, I think it's thoroughly a Chinese corporation, and they're just, you know, as to why they're promoting this, you know, more of a pro-Palestinian message. I don't know. You could speculate. You could say maybe they just want to cause further sort of fractures between Americans. And that's a legitimate, I think, political target for them. I think that's a good motivation for them. So that's kind of what I've chalked it up to. And then, yeah, I assume you've talked about this on your show, but, you know, I fully buy into this idea that, like, this has nothing to do with any of the other sort of ulterior motives they've posited for the TikTok ban. They simply just want to get rid of it because they are not helping out our greatest ally. They're not propagandizing for them as every other arm of the media does. So,
yeah,
it's pretty cut and dry.
It's so interesting to me because, I mean, I, at first, when the whole TikTok, anti-TikTok narrative started, I don't know, it's been a couple of years now, I think. You had the libs of TikTok, which was, you know, really famous at pointing out how left-wing it was. But, I mean, I've seen plenty of red pill content out there well before the Palestinian Gaza attack on the Hamas attack on October 7th or whatever that was, well before that. And I thought to myself, it seems to me that this is just, they really just don't like that they're not in control of the censorship. It seems like they just don't like that China is allowing to, you know, put out whatever content they want. That much is obvious. But anyway, but back to this noticing of the demographics, right? What you said earlier about, you know, opposition, like when people are confronted with these numbers, again, the idea that people who have an ancestral claim to being Jewish are also at the top of these different industries in government, banking, finance, politics, entertainment, that at some point when people see these, that their natural reaction is going to be to oppose this political reality. Why do you think that is? Why would we oppose this? Why would we oppose it? Is it because that the country, specifically the United States of America, is going to hell in a handbasket, and the people who are at the top making these decisions, they're the ones responsible, right? They're the ones pulling the levers of power where, you know, we now have every major corporation, you know, that's adopted ESG, that's adopted diversity, equity, inclusion, that's telling us that removing the genitals of children is healthcare. Is that the connection you're trying to get people to make when you share this demographic reality?
In a sense, I actually think that's even a step sort of beyond what I'm trying to achieve with like these sort of introductory videos. If people further pursue this question, they'll see that, yeah, it's not just limited to, of course, like controlling the narrative and like the media and the things that I discuss directly. There are these deeper layers. Obviously, there's a connection to those things you discussed. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the goal is more just like to like a lot of what I'm trying to, the audience, I guess I'm trying to garner, I don't harbor any illusions that I'm really going to be talking to any sort of hard lefties on this. They're just simply, I think, not going to watch my videos. And as soon as they watch 20 seconds of them, they'll turn it off and thumbs down and try to report it for hate or whatever. The people I'm really trying to reach are more conservatives. And I think because they haven't completely become nihilists, and they have some sort of, they have, you know, even if it's this vague idea of what America is, and, you know, these half-learned lessons from like their eighth grade civics class or whatever, they still believe those things. And they still think that America is a country that has values that's worth, that are worth fighting for, and that are better than, you know, this alternative, which is like this soft authoritarianism from like this outside state. You know, so I think if I can get those people and they do have these ideas, then it naturally follows that you don't want a foreign sovereign ruling your country. So that's what I'm aiming at. And kind of to that end, you know, in addition to making these videos where I look at the Jewish representation of all these podcasts, I do a lot of other sort of adjacent stuff, stuff that I think conservatives will sort of be interested in. That way, maybe they start watching my channel, and then if they like what I'm putting out, they'll naturally make their way to the Jewish content. So, you know, to that end, like I put out a video on what is the actual feasibility of using bugs as a food source for people. It's not to say it's something that I'm not interested in. You know, I wouldn't make a video if I thought it was like stupid and boring. But, you know, that's kind of what that's there for, is like get more conservative people and people who I think would be receptive to these ideas and have that, like, even if it's a vague sense of nationalism within them.
Yeah, so, you know, so you're talking about waking up a huge portion of the right in America that believe that, you know, Israel's our greatest ally, and that don't necessarily understand this foreign influence. Speaking of foreign influence, so I know podcaster, you know, Tim Cast in Real Life, or Tim Pool, you know, he disputes that it's the Israel lobby that's pulling America's strings, and he says no, it's the United States that's controlling Israel. To that, you would say what?
I would say, well, I would make me question Tim Pool's motivations. You know,
well, staying on YouTube would be one of those motivations,
right? That's the thing. And like, honestly, I don't resent Tim at all for this. Honestly, there's like this vague sense of, it's almost like a dark nobility to what he's doing. You got to figure he's running this small media company, but he employs, I don't know, a couple dozen people or something like that. He is essentially willing to sacrifice his honor, or however you want to put it, you know, for lack of a better term, and just intentionally be obtuse about this stuff and not discuss it and shout down people who are making, you know, these overwhelmingly obvious points about, well, I think Israel has a lot of control in our country, and I think they're pulling a lot of our strings, and perhaps it's not all positive. You know, the fact that he's willing to, like, quote unquote, remain ignorant to this stuff, but it seems negative on its face. But again, if you look at it from the perspective of, like, he's protecting, you know, dozens of jobs of all these people that he's close to, and it allows him to, you know, maybe continue doing what little bit of good he thinks is coming from his media empire thingy. In that sense, you know, I don't necessarily disdain him for it. Not that it's something I would do, but, you know.
Right. Yeah. I
think that's where he's coming from.
I take your point. You know, I mean, there are, you know, there's a huge spectrum, right? And, you know, you can't just write somebody completely off, right? That there is no good that's, you know, being done with discussing other topics and that sort of thing. However, when it is interesting when it comes to this issue, because I've seen his co-host, you know, Ian, sometimes he tries to bring it up, and I mean, he just gets cut off immediately.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't actually thought about trying to keep your employees employed, but at the same time, I think it also has a lot to do with just money and personal wealth as well. I mean, because if you put yourself in that situation, who wouldn't have that to be the main temptation to be silent on these observations that you bring to the forefront? Alex, with the Leather Apron Club, really appreciate it. Where can people find your show?
Yeah, it's just on YouTube. YouTube channel's Leather Apron Club, and I'm also on X.
So you haven't been removed yet. You haven't been removed yet from YouTube. And because you're just putting this data out there.
Yeah. again, I don't really speculate too much on it. I just want to, I put the data out in the hopes that it starts a conversation. And yeah, so far so good. Although I'm releasing a video within the next day or two, and we'll see on this one.
All right. Well, best of luck to you, sir. Appreciate you coming on the Stu Peters Show.
Of course.
All righty. Folks, thanks so much for watching the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell.
You know, a lot of people think they're ready for what's coming. Some world government roaming the streets of the United States, seizing guns from Americans, disarming you. A lot of people think, oh, when the deep state comes or the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm totally ready. In today's world, you have to be prepared for everything. It's not just an option, it's a necessity. When it comes to protecting my friends and family and ensuring that we're getting ready for any emergency, I choose American Reserves. With American Reserves, you're not just buying peace of mind. No, you're investing in high-quality, long-shelf-life emergency food, top-notch water filtration products, essential survival gear designed to keep you safe and your kids safe no matter what. In emergency situations, having these products will keep you and your family alive. I'm not overstating this. And I know the people at American Reserves. I love doing business with them because they're patriots. They're Christians. They care truly about your family's preparedness. So don't wait for the emergency to find you and your family unprepared. Visit AmericanReserves.com today. If you use the discount code STU, you'll get 10% off everything. Take the first step towards securing your family's safety with American Reserves. You're not just ready, you're prepared for anything. Again, AmericanReserves.com and use promo code STU. I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about. Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com. I would like to reserve this book in your name. It's called No Grid Survival Project, and inside you'll find 75 ingenious do-it-yourself projects that can help you to protect your own family, not only from long-term blackouts or after an EMP, but also in times of economic crisis, riots, hyperinflation, hurricanes, civil war, martial law, or any other unforeseen events that may come our way. This book, the immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent, self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on the government or anyone else for your basic needs. You'll discover things like how to make water out of thin air, the long-lasting survival foods that you can make at home, automatic backyard traps and alarms for looters and intruders, a pressurized rainwater harvester, EMP-proof survival generators, the self-sustaining greenhouse, a simple device that can keep you off of FEMA's radar, do-it-yourself, no-grid air conditioning unit, and a whole lot more. Yes, air conditioning units. Do it yourself. The immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent and self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on anybody else. Go to nogridprojects.com/stew and take advantage of a 75% discount. This book right here, and this offer won't be available for long. That's nogridprojects.com/stew. Field of Greens is the healthiest thing that I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I like all of their flavors. It's completely improved my life. This is actually nutrition the way that nature intended. What I noticed right away, I noticed clearer skin. I noticed brighter, more vibrant skin. I noticed more energy when I wake up. I noticed better sleep at night. And Field of Greens is just radically different. It's different from anything else that you could possibly do. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Who else is going to do that? Plus, I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Just visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code STEW. That's promo code STEW at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code STEW.